This Veterans Day is one that holds times of tribute as well as sadness. The tribute goes to all who have served with a superhuman level of courage and dedication defending liberty and freedom. The sadness comes from the reminder this past week in Thousand Oaks, California, of how many of our heroes come home broken and with needs that demand our response. Here with us to talk about military service and veterans is a Marine leader who served 24 years, 10 tours in places including Iraq and Afghanistan. He shared stories about his career and the people he served with in his book, Echo in Ramadi, the firsthand story of U.S. Marines in Iraq's deadliest city. Major Scott Husing, thanks so much for being here today, Major.
Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
And the website for Scott's book, echoinramadi.com. We talk about Veterans Day, and it's unfortunately so many people are really dismissive of it. It's like, okay, yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for doing something. And I'm going to go out and see what sales are happening at the mattress store or whatever. What is the value of Importance Day for a veteran?
Well, I don't think that most veterans actually sit around and think about themselves on Veterans Day. I don't think about, oh, this is my day. This is Veterans Day. This is my day to celebrate. It's not some sort of super military holiday. But for the civilians and those that have never served, it's absolutely a day where we celebrate veterans, not to be confused with Memorial Day, where we memorialize and remember the ultimate sacrifice some of our nation's finest young men and women have made, but a real day to celebrate. And I think that's something that a lot of people across America get confused with. And then sometimes they often struggle, Chris, with how to appropriately thank a veteran. I mean, I don't know. Is that something that you struggle with? Like, do you ever say, like, what should I do? What should I say to a veteran now, you know, in this day and age to really thank them for their service?
I think a thank you is really, well, it's not sufficient as a, you know, equal to equal measure. But, you know, you see it all through the country. We hear stories about a couple of veterans who are sitting at a diner and someone will pick up the check. You see, or veterans or even current serving military are recognized at an airport and everyone in the terminal stands up and applauds. So there are a variety of ways to do it that are really a lot easier and certainly, I think, a lot more valuable than most people think they are.
I do, too. And I think that's a great point, is there's never a wrong way to say thank you. I think this good manners 101 and, there's a lot of civilians that have never experienced the raw savagery of combat that most veterans will experience, or some, and they can imagine what it's like to be on television or on the films. And, you know, when I was a young kid growing up, that's what I used to think too. But this Veterans Day, there's thousands that know this reality too well, this war. We've been a nation at war for 17 years. But sadly, there's more that don't. Most have no idea really what veterans have gone through, or, you know, and still stumble what to say. And sometimes, you know, I just wrote an op-ed today, Chris, in USA Today, and it's been an interesting topic about Veterans Day and what people should say. And I've often had discussions, and I think sometimes people subconsciously maybe want to say, thank you for killing for me, because at the end of the day, that's ultimately our job. That's what people take an oath for and enlist for, to do the worst things that we have to do in war. And that may be a stretch, and it may be a better way to say it is, thank you for taking so much risk for me. Thank you for sacrificing so much for me. And although no one's ever come up to me and said, hey, thanks for killing for me, maybe, you know, deep down, they wanted to have that moral courage to say that, because they wanted to really say, like, I could have never done what you've done as a veteran. I could have never left my family for a year and been away. I could have never sacrificed physically. I could have never put myself in harm's way the way you have done for so many years. And for our young men and women, Chris, some of them enlisted on 9/11, and all they've known their entire military career now is a nation at war. So I think that is really something that's remarkable. And I think that the vast majority of American people, you know, again, this isn't about guilt, patriotism, you know, trying to elicit some other reaction from everyday Americans. Just saying simply thank you is enough, but also listening to veterans, I think, is very important.
Sure, and trying to sympathize. Well, I don't know if sympathizing is the right word to support them, because talking about, and I've talked with authors who have done these compilation books of military stories, and certainly you firsthand as well with Echo and Ramadi, the firsthand story, U.S. Marines in Iraq's Deadliest City, which is Major Scott Husing's book, and you can find out more at echoandramadi.com. It seems like almost to an individual, talking about and relating and relaying the experience is challenging. And for the person who never served, think about going to the most painful part of your life and having to tell that story. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do.
No, it's not. And everybody doesn't have to do that to share their experiences better. Not everybody has that capacity. And, you know, it's for me too, Chris, as I wrote today, it was not about getting credit for carrying out the worst aspects of our job as professional soldiers or having some, you know, short microtherapy session to unload on total stranger when they say, hey, tell me about your service. You know, I really want to listen. That's not what it's about. But the real important message, and this is something that I want to get across, is that our culture really has a problem talking about the important issues. Our culture really has a problem talking about death or killing, unless it's bolstered by some flowery parade with waving flags, or on days like Veterans Day, you know, throughout the weekend, there's hot dogs and hamburgers, you know, in the sense filling the air. But that's not what it's about. And I would submit that how many listeners of this show have actually had a barbecue and served a combat veteran, you know, or serve any veteran for that matter. And again, this is not guilt patriotism. We're not looking for free food. But this is the reality, man. This is the separation our nation has between those who've served and those who think they are really supporting the troops. And it's not just a bumper sticker on your car, Chris. You have to do more.
Oh, no, I've always
you have
been
to,
for all those
you have to put some skin in the game. Yeah.
Yeah, for all those who buy the car magnets, the bumper stickers, the buttons, I've said for years now, if you took all that money you spent on those objects and gave it to support a veteran's cause, it would have made a whole hell of a lot different situation.
That's a great idea. I mean, I've never even heard that, but and a lot of people do struggle with that too. It's like, well, I want to help veterans and charities, you know, how can I do that? And luckily for me, I'm the executive director of SaveTheBrave.org, and we've helped hundreds of veterans with post-traumatic stress. We just held our second annual golf tournament to honor one of the fallen Marines we lost in 2015 to suicide, who was gripped by post-traumatic stress. And, you know, 75 golfers on a Wednesday, they all flew out and came out and drove out to Southern California, and we golfed and raised a bunch of money. But sometimes people struggle with that, you know, like, who do I give to? And you do have to do your research, because there's some shady ones out there. But SaveTheBrave.org is 100% nonprofit. None of us on the board take a single dime. It all goes to directly support veterans who are struggling with PTS and our Gold Star families.
Yeah, we have a link over at our website for Save the Brave as well. And I wish we could give this more time, but just to add to what you're saying, and we saw this past week in Thousand Oaks, there are broken people who come home, and we just did a segment about the number of veterans on food stamps in the nation, and that's irritating too, because you think of what they accomplished, as we see government flunkies at all levels pulling six-figure salaries for basically almost no-show jobs, and there's just something really wrong with how this is all measuring out.
It's a tragic topic, what happened in Thousand Oaks, just 2 hours from my home, Chris, and you know, it's really hard even as a veteran to have any sympathy for a young man who makes that type of decision, and the fact that he was a Marine. We struggle with that, and our commandant came out and really kind of excommunicated him from the Marine Corps in a tweet, calling him an ex-Marine. No one's ever an ex-Marine. You're a Marine for life. And we just don't have enough information about that, and the fact that I think it's important, especially around Veterans Day, though, Chris, to understand that kid's service with the Marine Corps is and what he did to, you know, yesterday, that's not an indictment on the Marine.
No,
or
not
the Marine Corps.
No, if anything, because it's an indictment on people who see the warning signs That's something we talk about here a lot too. And
yeah.
and they don't get ahead of them and try to defuse them.
Yeah, and again, you know, I don't know. We never know when we get a young Marine, you know, what trauma or abuse or neglect did he have before he joined the Marine Corps, and then we train him as a U.S. Marine to kill. We do. I make no apologies for that. We are a warfighting organization in the Marine Corps to train people to defend our country, but we also don't know if what he experienced in the Marine Corps were that served as those triggers that led him to that decision, that horrible decision the other night, or it was something after he left the Marine Corps. So there's so much information that's not there. But where was his tribe? You're right, Chris. Where was his tribe to support this kid before he jumped, you know, and up that final threshold? And my heart goes out to the families of all 12 and those that were injured in that incident. And it's simply a tragedy. When I woke up and got on the radio yesterday and started talking about it, there was this weight on my chest. It was just, again, is the only word that came to my mouth. You know, I couldn't believe it. You know, it's happening again. There's so many. But
no, it is a tragedy.
To all of our veterans, I just want to shift gears. You know, this Veterans Day, I want to say thank you to all who are serving right now. Only, you know, less than 0.5% of the American population serve our country to defend it. I just want to say thanks to all the veterans who served, all of our Vietnam vets. I want to say welcome home to you guys that never got welcomed home like we did. And I'm getting ready to drive down to the California coastline to be in a parade in San Clemente, California, to honor our returning battalion. So everybody, and to you, Chris, and to all the listeners, I want to say thanks for the support. Keep it up. And I'm very grateful.
The book is Echo and Ramadi, the firsthand story of U.S. Marines in Iraq's deadliest city, echoandramadi.com. Scott's organization, SaveTheBrave.org. It's one of the legit ones worthy of your support. And every veteran is worthy of your praise, your honoring, and your attention, and your cares. Major Scott Husing, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks. It's always my pleasure. Semper Fi.